Opening your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 34 in the King James says, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable." So they're looking for an answer. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again for this opportunity to allow the Word of God to speak into our hearts and renew our minds. We thank you for the opportunity to have the Word of God deal with any traditions and doctrines of men that have made the Word of God of none effect. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as your truth comes forth, doubt and unbelief can be pushed aside. Thank you, Father, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So as tonight, as we hear your Word, it's going to increase our faith. It's going to build up our hearts, our capacity to trust you, to look to you, to believe in all that you've done for us, that you're a good God, the righteousness of God. We just are so thankful for all the things, all the promises of God that are in your truth and in your Word. We just give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
You know, last week we talked about Jesus, the teacher, and we looked at a number of different scriptures in Mark and John and so forth, and all of them had to do with a revelation of the mystery of Christ. And his disciples kept coming to him over various incidents in the New Testament and asked them to declare the truth to them. And he really intended to show that truth to them. And as we found out, he primarily taught in parables. And as that scripture says, without a parable, he didn't really speak to the people. Let me read that to you out of the New Living Translation. Matthew 13:34 says, "Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables, and I'll explain again the things hidden since the creation of the world." You know, last week was the first of a series that I'm going to be doing on the parables of Jesus, the life lessons that he taught. I believe if we learn from what Jesus taught the people and his disciples specifically, there's a lot of things that in our life then can be affected. It's not just about our normal life, our natural life, but it's our eternal life, life on the inside of us that we have to share with other people. And so I'm just going to read my little lessons introduction, if I may. I wrote this out back a few weeks ago when I was preparing this. I just kind of wrote, I guess, my own vision of what I was trying to accomplish. And so I'm just going to read this to you because this is really what I felt the Lord was directing me for the next couple of months. "Let's begin a journey that may take us a few months to accomplish, but will be well worth the effort. Jesus said there were certain things that God had kept secret from the foundation of the world. There is a reward waiting for those disciples who will humble themselves, sit at the feet of Jesus, and seek the truth with all their heart. These secrets have been hidden for us, not from us. The average person hears but fails to understand the significance of the life lessons Jesus was teaching with his parables. And as we go through this series, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the mystery hidden in his word and the purpose to see and hear the truth." So that's going to be a decision on your part. I want you to just, whatever adjustments you need to make on the inside, just say, "Well, it's Saturday night. I had to come to church because my wife dragged me here, or my car dragged me here, or somebody." No, you're here, I believe, for a purpose. You're here because God desires to speak and plant something in your heart. He desires to renew your mind. And so when we look at what the scripture says here, and we start looking through these parables, and we'll get into more of the details of them as we get into it over the next couple of weeks, But as we look at them, I want you to understand there's some mysteries that are hidden that he spoke generally to the public, and then he walked around and in a sense back into a private time with his disciples. This is discipleship time. I'm going to say that again. This is discipleship time. This is a time when, in a sense, you are sitting down with Jesus. Not me. Let Jesus, the Word of God, speak to you tonight. Let Jesus, in a sense, teach you tonight. Oh, but Pastor, you're teaching. No, I'm just up here. I'm the speaker. No different than those speakers right there. I'm not the originator of what God wants you to hear. I'm just the speaker. And so pull on what the Holy Ghost has for you, because each one of us needs to hear clearly what the Spirit is speaking to us. When you look at Matthew chapter 13 there, I should have gotten my own Bible out here. Sorry about that. There's a number of things that we've got to understand, because look at verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. Let's back up into the context here. Verse 10 says, "His disciples came and asked him, 'Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?'" I think that's a legitimate question. They're learning something about Jesus, the Messiah, their hope. And they're watching him minister. And he gets out there, and we know from the beginning of this chapter, it says he came out of the house, verse 1. He sat by the seaside. Verse 2, a great multitude ended up showing up. And it says, then he went out into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So there's times when he was so overwhelmed by the crowd that he had to kind of back up. And if he didn't watch out, he'd end up in the water. So he got in a ship, a little boat probably or something big enough, a fishing ship. Got out there, and if you've ever been on a lake and have a wall like that where people can sit, there's a lot of amplification. It's great acoustics. Really works great. He could speak to literally thousands without a microphone. And so he's out there on the ship. He's speaking to them. And it says, and he spake many things unto them in what? In verse 3. Parables. Then he begins to speak one of the most famous parables that we all know, the parable of the sower. That's when you get to verse 10, and the disciples say, "Why do you speak to the people then in parables? What's the deal?" Now look at verse 11. I'm going to read to you out of the New Living Translation just for clarity. And again, let me back up for just a second, because if we don't understand the context of these parables, look at verse 9 first. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 9, he ends this parable with what statement? "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So there's a qualifier about this parable. He gives the sower. I'm not going to read the whole parable, because we're going to come back and actually study it in depth coming up in a couple of weeks. But right now what I'm doing is laying a foundation as to why Jesus taught the way he did, and the very reason that you and I need to come with an open heart, with an expectation to receive what he has for us. Because otherwise, you read some of these parables, and a lot of times we don't understand them. You know, one of the things that some parables are nice and short, and there's one point that it's making. Other parables are more lengthy. There might be two or three things that Jesus is trying to get across. It's interesting when you start reading some of these parables and start studying some of them like I've been doing, there's a lot of different opinions about what some of these parables mean. It's amazing how somebody can read a parable and say, "Well, I think it says this." That's not what it says at all. It's pretty plain. It's pretty blunt. It says this. Don't add to it and don't take away. Don't bring all your other baggage into it. It just says this. In fact, many times Jesus, if you just keep reading, he'll say, "Oh, by the way, this is what I meant. This is what I'm really trying to get across." And we know that from the sower. So I just wanted to put that in context. So he says, the Amplified actually says there in verse 9, "Listen, consider, perceive, and comprehend what I'm about to say." So verse 11, Matthew 13:11, and he replied, he says, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Now remember, this is in context to the sower. Now put it in context. Remember, he talks about four different kinds of soil, four different kinds of hearts, so to speak. And what happens when the word gets sown? All right, so you're all familiar with that. He says, for they look, but they do not really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. Now, he's quoting, I believe, something that should have been very familiar to his disciples. He's quoting from the Septuagint, which is the Hebrew-Greek translation that many times Jesus is quoting. So sometimes you watch and see what Jesus says, and you go back to the Hebrew and you go, boy, he really changed that around. Well, that's because he was quoting from what's known as the Septuagint at the time. And at this particular place, he's quoting a number of different scriptures kind of that were generally known. Isaiah 42 says, you have seen many things, yet you do not observe or apprehend their true meaning. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. Jeremiah prophesied, you have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears to hear, but you don't really listen. Ezekiel prophesied, the Son of Man is living in the midst of a rebellious house. They have eyes to see, but do not see. They have ears to hear, but refuse to hear. For they are a rebellious people. Sadly, I think we're still living in similar times, and these scriptures can apply today too. There's a lot of people that can sit in church, in ministries, watch or hear and see and believe, so basically the same thing, and yet they walk out the door, and it's amazing how quickly the principle of the sower goes to work. Immediately, Satan comes to steal the word. Other people, they get offended and the word never produces. You can go through the principle of the sower, that parable, and find where, and in a sense, where we're at. When we get a scripture, we get a lesson like this, and we go home with it, what are we going to do with it? Are we just going to listen, or are we really going to comprehend? See, that's what the Amplified says. We want to listen, we want to consider it, we want to perceive it, we want to comprehend it. Not just say, well, isn't that a nice little sermon? Thank you very much, Pastor. There's something powerful here if we will grab hold of it, because it can change our life. It can change the course of our everyday life. It's not just about eternity. It's about today's life, tomorrow's life. So he says, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. Now again, they're hearing it, but they're not getting it. I've used this illustration before. If someone starts talking about, you know, quantum physics, they can be talking about it, and I could be nodding my head and go, yeah, okay, I have no clue what you're talking about. I am hearing, but I am not comprehending. Isn't that true? See, sadly, there's people, when you're speaking about the truth of God's word, about salvation, they're hearing, but they're not comprehending how it applies to their life. If they did, our churches would all be full. We'd have to have standing room only in every church that was preaching the gospel. Because people are not comprehending. They do not see the value of the scriptures for themselves in their everyday life. They hear it. They may even read it. They may even listen to it on the radio. But if it hasn't had a changing effect in their life, they're on the other side of this parable. All parables have two sides to it. It grabs your attention to listen to it. In a sense, it says, pay attention to me, but then there's instruction in it that ought to change our life. And as we go through all these parables, so, well, how many are there? Well, that's disputed. because there's at least in the 30s. So far, I'm focusing on about 36 to 38 that I believe are very specific parables. Some of the commentaries and books that I've been studying, one guy says there's over 60. But that's because they'll use a statement, as I went through last week, about the teacher, about similes and so forth, the different types of speech. And the reason I laid that out was because some people would call any one of those as part of a parable. It says the kingdom of God is like unto, ta-da, whatever it is. That's a one-liner. And yet many people say, well, that really is a parable. In fact, a couple of the resources I've been looking at, they argue that there really isn't a hard and fast definition of what a parable is. They say, well, everybody's got kind of their own fluid definition of what a parable is. So we're going to kind of nail it down to something basic that I believe we can all understand. Because when Jesus says this is a parable, can we agree that it's a parable? I mean, if he defined it as one, I think we ought to trust that. I don't think we ought to argue about it, take a vote, you know, check with some Greek scholar. I mean, if it says it's a parable, it's a parable. All right? And he says, I'm going to speak to you in these parables for a purpose. I want to be one of those that when I look or when I see, I get it. When I hear, I have ears to hear. When I see it, I have eyes to see it. I don't want to just hear it and see it and then walk out the door and forget what I've seen and what I've heard. I want to retain. I want to comprehend. I want to grab hold of it. And sometimes that takes time going through the whole thing and unfolding that parable. So we're going to do that in the weeks ahead. Say, man, this is going to be the longest series you've ever done. It'll be never as long as the series my wife did. She's got the record still. I think the Book of Romans one or one of the series that you did went for about a year. You know, so I'm not going to break that record. I guarantee you. I'm going to try to condense it down. But we'll look at probably at least 36 to 38 parables that I have specifically identified that I believe Jesus identified himself as parables. And some we can kind of group together because some are only in one gospel, some are only in two gospels, some are in all three gospels. So we'll look at that. So here's verse 14. Look at Matthew 13, 14. Well, let me back up. Let's read the whole thing in context again. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. So he's talking to his disciples in the house privately now. Otherwise, he had just spoken the whole thing about the sower outside public sitting in the boat. He says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. So not just hear it, but listening. Have you ever had someone say that? Are you listening? Huh? You know, you heard it, but are you listening? Oh, no, I'm too busy playing, you know, zombies and fight. What is that game about you guys play? Never mind. You're not playing that right now, are you? No, never mind. Zombies versus plants. More understanding will be given, and they will have what? An abundance of knowledge. That's a good promise. Not just kind of get a little nugget here. I'm talking about we ought to go home tonight with an abundance of knowledge about something. We ought to go home with like, wow, I've never seen that before. You know, next time I read through the Bible and the Bible says this is a parable, I'm going to pay attention to it. Because he teaches one parable after another. Again, I'm going to jump in here. Just look at Matthew 13. He starts with the parable of the sower. Then in verse 24, he starts with another parable about the tares. Then he talks about the parable of the mustard seed in verse 31. Then he explains it, but he talks about another parable about the leaven in verse 33. That parable is one verse long. So some of them are verses long, others are one verse. And we're going to go through them because I want you to see how important and significant and get an abundance of knowledge out of each one. Because when you do, it'll affect your life. It'll change your life. It'll teach us life lessons that Jesus was teaching his disciples. And so it's no different than if he was here today, do you think he'd say the same thing? Yeah, I think he would. I think he'd teach us the same parable, the same lesson. So he says, this is why I use parables. For you look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. Verse 14. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says... Now, he's about to quote again an Old Testament scripture, a prophetic scripture. We already saw Isaiah 42, Jeremiah 5, Ezekiel 12. Now he's about to quote Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. He says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them," or actually save them, depending on the word you translate that as. So he's quoting an Old Testament prophetic word about every generation because they don't want to hear. You know, it's amazing. You sit down and start to talk to some people, they really don't want to hear. They hear, but they really don't want to listen. Let's put it that way. Let's clarify that. He goes on and says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." And then he says this in verse 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable. Then he goes in to explain the parable of the sower. So Jesus is making a point here. He's intentionally teaching the general population with parables. Why? There's a distinction between speaking something generally to the population, because he's going to see how many of them are curious enough to follow him into the house. Listen to what I'm saying, because this is vital. We can hear something and go, "Oh, that's interesting," but then we can just turn our attention away and never follow up on it. But when God speaks to you a scripture, when something goes off, when you're reading your scripture, something goes off tonight while you're listening, mark it down and go home and study it, and in a sense, go in the house with Jesus and ask him, "Jesus, what do you mean by this parable? What do you mean by this?" Because otherwise you've just heard, you really didn't intend to comprehend. The purpose of all these parables is they begin to grab our attention. But if they grab our attention, then we have to go to the next step with it. There's a place of being curious, or, "Oh, that was interesting. Oh, wow, that's I've never seen that before. I've never heard that before." I hate to admit it, but I've heard some awesome things, and I go, "Wow, that was amazing." And then a couple weeks later, I went, "What was that?" Because I forgot to write it down. You know, I'm one of those guys that I don't care who's preaching. If you've ever watched me while I'm up here, when my wife's teaching, I'm taking notes. In fact, if I can really sweet talk her, I try to get a copy of her notes before she preaches. Sometimes she won't let me see them before she preaches, though. But I like getting them before she preaches, because then I can watch her and follow along with her, and then I can write my interpretation right on her notes. But I don't care where I go. I always take notes, because paper never forgets. That's one of my cliches. Paper never forgets. Now, I know that some of you can do it on your... You've got fast thumbs. I don't. I've watched some of you guys do the... Blah, 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 blah. I can't do that. I'm like this. Bing, bing, bing. And I'd get two words in, and you'd be already... You know, somebody be three scriptures down by that time. I would not keep up with you. But I can write really fast in shorthand. I've learned how to write shorthand. I had to do that during Rhema. Those guys talked fast, and we had to keep track of notes because we had tests coming. Aren't you glad I'm not giving you a test? And I'm grading you. But I'm going to tell you something. There is someone that when you get out of there, he's going to test you with whether or not you got it. I'm not here to give you a test. I'm not here to give you a pass or fail grade. But there is one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's going to test you to see whether or not you really got a hold of it. That's what this parable of the sower is really all about. Like I say, we'll come back and spend time and really take it apart and spend time specifically understanding why Jesus wanted. Because I'm more than just curious. As the disciples, they had true spiritual hunger, and they wanted to search out the meaning of the things that he taught. And the purpose of a parable is to whet your appetite so that then you dig further to find out what it really means for yourself and for your life. And that's why he'd go out and he'd speak to the multitudes, and then the disciples would follow him into the house and say, "Now, Jesus, what do you mean by that?" Explain that to us. I know that you said that, but what does that mean? Because I want to get a hold of it. Because he's saying to the... Now, anybody can hear it, but they may not be listening. He says, but if you're listening, what does he say? I'm going to give you an abundance of knowledge. Again, to those, verse 12, to those who listen. I mean, if you really listen, if you're curious, if you've got that true spiritual hunger, if you're going to seek, you know, we know about ask, seek, knock, right? Seek and you shall find. We know those principles. But he's saying to those who listen to my teaching, who really listen, who are paying attention, who want to comprehend, who want to grab hold of it, who are really going to get up, you know, I want this to have an impact on my life. He says, if you come with that expectation, not just sit out there and go, oh, that was cool, Jesus. That was really cool. Boy, you had 17 scriptures to back that one up. That's good. But I'd rather have you go home with one nugget of truth that absolutely impacts your life, that will always have a change, that'll change the course of your life going forward. One truth. I know this is maybe too easy of an illustration. But when Jesus said, or Paul said, to him that stole, steal no more. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying anybody in here is a thief. I'm just saying that if we ever had taken something that didn't belong to us at some point in our life, and we don't see anything wrong with just going home from the office with the stapler that really doesn't belong to us, but I need one at home. No one ever has done that here. But if you did, it says, don't ever do it again. Isn't that simple? Revelation. But I guarantee you, in a couple of weeks, the devil's going to tempt you. Man, you really need that staple puller. You already got the stapler at home. Don't bring it back, because then they'll know it showed up again. Oh, well, he forgave me. I'll just keep it. But now I need a staple puller. He said, Pastor, that's a really dumb illustration. No, it's not. Because I am guilty. I have a stapler at home that didn't belong to me at once. It's sitting on my desk right now. It came from where I used to work years and years ago. But I have repented. Amen. Because, you know, if they're going to throw it away, it's not being used, I'll put it to use. See, the problem is that you don't think there's anything wrong with doing that, then the next thing is, you're not using that coffee maker. Okay. Oh, you're not using all that coffee. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Him that stole, do what? Steal no more. See, we wouldn't even consider it stealing. And yet that's what the Word of God is telling us. And we don't even realize that sometimes we're compromising the truth of God's Word. It starts to speak to us, and we know that little still small says, that. Don't touch that. Leave that alone. That's not yours. That, go buy coffee for everybody else and bring it in. Yes, sir, I will do that. See, well, that's a really dumb illustration, but I think you got the point. See, when he says, but blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. He says, I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but didn't see it. He says, guys, I'm letting you in on this mystery that's been hidden from ages and generations. We shared that last week. And he says, I'm giving you inside information to this mystery that no one else has ever seen. He says, I want you to realize how important this is. Let me read this to you again. Jump down to verse 34. This is the scripture I used when we opened up, but I want to put it into context now that he's gone through these different parables. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. That's verse 34, New Living Translation. And he says, in fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. Underline that in your Bible. When it came to the general population, he used basic illustrations. He used very simple things that they could see and compare their life to. We went through the illustrations of similitudes and so forth. This fulfilled, verse 35 says, what God had spoken through the prophet, I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Now again, he's quoting from Psalm 78, verse 2, which says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Now again, there's the Septuagint's version. Now, that sounds very different than what Jesus said, but that's exactly what he is quoting. And so when you look at what the psalmist said, what Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them are saying the same thing to the next generation on this side of the cross. Guys, there are things that Jesus is going to open up to you that righteous people, prophets, kings, they sought after and never got it. And it's wide open for us. There's so much accessible to us, it's amazing. And so many people just kind of, oh, isn't that cool? We need to esteem the Word of God with such value. It is beyond recognition of how we should hold the Word of God as far as how valuable it is. I can't even say it. I pant for it, as one song says. Luke chapter 10. Turn over there, please. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus has just sent out the 70, and they come back, and they were rejoicing all the things that had happened. The devils were, you know, subject to them and so forth. And as verse 23 talks about how, again, he turned to his disciples privately. Did everybody see that in verse 23? Privately. Again, there was what he did publicly, but there's a discipleship time. Everyone say discipleship time. When you come to church, that's discipleship time. You're coming in here, and this is, in a sense, you're coming in to hit the house with Jesus. And he says, he sat down with them privately. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So we're just basically looking at a parallel passage, a confirmation of what we already looked at in Matthew. But now he goes into something different that he doesn't say in any other gospel. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we don't know the context of this particular setting. Because there's a paragraph there, because there's a break, is this lawyer in there with him privately in the house with him or not? There's speculation either way. Some think he's back out in the open. Some think he's out in public. Others think this is still in the context of him talking, because there was 70 that had been sent out and there were people that followed them in. We can't specifically say yes or no. Again, that's speculation. But in this case, we know that some lawyer, some legalist, somebody who was a Pharisee might want to say that, someone who really knew the word from the Old Testament was standing up, and he was kind of testing the rabbi, testing the teacher, testing him about something. I think, personally, after reading this as many times as I have, I'm more inclined to think this was still the same setting, that he's privately with his disciples. Now, again, that could have been a big group because he just had the 70 come back. It wasn't always the little 12. All right, do you understand that? And so he's sitting there with this group. He turned to his disciples. Again, we don't know how many that is. Many times when we read that, we automatically assume it's the 12. It does not say that. It says disciples. Well, we know that he just sent out 70 disciples earlier in the chapter. So let's just assume, for the sake of discussion, whether it's 12 or 70 or more, there's probably a bunch of them there. Who knows if all 70 hung around, you know, but a bunch of them are there. One of them was probably pretty well versed in the scriptures, or maybe he followed the group in and go, boy, this is really cool. Wow, you guys were casting out devils, you were healing the sick, you were raising the dead. I got to find out what's going on here. So he kind of comes in and sits in the house, and he stands up and says, tempting Jesus, Master, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, now, this is a classic Jesus maneuver. When Jesus is being tested or tempted with something, what does he usually do? He turns it around on them and asks them a question. He says, I'll answer your question as soon as you answer my question, because I'm trying to find out where you're at before you try to find out where I'm at. So he says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now that's King James. The Message and others say, what's written? How do you interpret it? So he's throwing something at this guy, and this guy is going to have to interpret or tell him what he got out of the word. He's the lawyer. He's the when we think of lawyers, we think of a guy who's sitting in an office and he takes care of legal things. A lawyer in a New Testament sense many times was a man who was very familiar with the law of the Word of God, the Old Testament law. All right? This lawyer answers him in verse 27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Or in other words, you shall have eternal life, because that was what he was asking him. But he, speaking of this lawyer again, this religious leader, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus then goes into verse 30. If you look in the margin of your Bible, what does it say? The parable of the what? Good Samaritan. So Jesus launches into a parable and specifically teaches an illustration that the man can compare himself to. You get it? That he has to not only hear it, but he has to listen and apply it. Because he's asking, who's my neighbor? Now, it's fun because when we get to this parable, and we're going to get there, he really sets the guy up, because one of the guys that he uses in the parable was a lawyer just like him, and this guy didn't do anything. We'll come back to that thought. But here's, I think, what Jesus was really trying to say to this group. Because again, the disciples are all listening, and this guy's standing up trying to justify himself. Now, I'm sure that it can be an embarrassing thing when you stand up and you say something publicly, and then you kind of get challenged about it, and then you kind of want to justify yourself, and you want to defend yourself, and then who's my neighbor? So you kind of say something like that. Well, Jesus kind of put him in his place in all reality. So I think what's interesting is that Jesus in verse 28 says, you have answered right. Now the guy's a lawyer. The guy's a guy who really knows the Word of God in the sense of the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments. Do you know that the two things that he says have nothing to do with the Ten Commandments? He's actually quoting two other scriptures from Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus chapter 19. And what's really interesting, if you cross-reference what he says here, Jesus himself used those exact same things when Jesus was tested in another place. And he says, Rabbi, how do you interpret the law? How do you interpret the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers this. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He uses the same answer. He doesn't use the Ten Commandments either. So Jesus is telling us something that a lot of other people would have missed. And he's saying, not only did you get that right, I've used that answer myself. That's a good answer, man. He uses that answer in Matthew 22. He uses that answer in Mark chapter 12. I don't have time to go there, but you can look them up. In both those situations, Jesus uses the same response. And he gives the guy credit for coming up with the right answer. But then the guy, trying to justify himself. Trying to think, well, you kind of showed me up here. Well, then, all right, who's my neighbor? Well, I don't think you want to be arguing with the Son of God, who is the Word of God, who knows the Word better than anybody, because He is the Word. He's going to always outword you. All right? Jesus teaches the parable then of the Good Samaritan. And I believe, as I said last week, this is one of those things when we talked about teachable moments last week. This is Jesus the teacher using a teachable moment. This is one of those times when He could have just let it go. Said, hey, you know, that was a good answer. It's the same answer. That's really good. But the guy pushed it. He pushed it. Well, who's my neighbor? And he could have just said, well, you've already answered them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Anybody that's other than yourself, you could just how do you love yourself? Just love them. He could have just left it at that. But he didn't. We'll come back. We'll come full circle back to this parable in a couple weeks, or a few weeks, sometime in the future, when I get to it. Number 38. So you're going to be going on for this for 38 weeks? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I want you to see, though, at this point, Jesus is teaching and trying to make a point about these teachable moments. How readest thou? How do you interpret Scripture? What do you look at these things? And I think it's interesting when the guy's asking, how do I inherit eternal life? And he's asking him a real simple question. Well, how do you read the Word? When you read the Word of God, what's the answer that you find? How do you come up with an answer as far as the steps I would take to obtain eternal life? What did you come up with? How do you read it? How do you interpret it? Turn over to Mark chapter 13. We're going to wrap this up here. In Mark chapter 13, there's another illustration. Of how readest thou? I love that phrase. Mark chapter 12, there's some parables, the widow's mite, some other issues that are coming up in through Mark chapter 10, 11, 12. He gets to chapter 13. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. The disciples are trying to pin him down on that, and he starts talking about persecution. But I want you to pay attention specifically to verse 14. Because he's asking about, how do you read the Scriptures? When you read the Scriptures, what do you get out of them? Are you paying attention, or do you just read them and then you move on? Are you really listening, or are you just hearing it? Verse 14, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. Now notice in your Bible there's parentheses in almost every translation. I've looked this up in a lot of translations. And there's a very interesting phrase here that the Holy Spirit inspired the writer, Mark, to put in here. It says, let him that readeth, what? Understand. Isn't that interesting? He says, I want you to make sure that when you get this and you read it, don't just go past this too quickly here. I want you as a reader to understand that when certain things are happening, prophetically, Daniel already told us what's going to happen. How have you read this? Have you understood this? Have you looked into this? Have you comprehended this? And he says, let the reader understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And he goes on. Now there's volumes written about end times, most of which contradict each other. Is this talking about the end of the age? Is this talking about the end of the tribulation? Is this talking about the end of the millennium? You can find somebody that believes any one of those. Jesus is talking about Daniel's prophecy specifically. He's talking about certain things, and he says, the main thing is, make sure that when you're reading this, you understand what you're reading. And I think that's just a basic principle. Whenever you're reading the Word of God, the new covenant truth that's been hidden for us and not from us should always be so simple that when we appreciate the fact that God has given us access to truth that others couldn't see. You and I have access to truth that prophets never heard. Just think of the truth that you and I walk around with every day in our hands. You got it on your phone. You got it on your iPad. You've got it available in 52 different translations. And these guys were like, oh man, I just wish I could understand just a little bit. They were hanging on every word that Jesus would say. And then they'd go and sit in the house and say, what did you mean by that? I don't get it. And we just get so casual with it. Sometimes so flippant with it. And then we wonder why it doesn't change our life. We wonder why some Christians can sit in church for 10 years and you see absolutely no change in their life. No fruit. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've seen people come and go over the years. And the most frustrating thing, I know that, I don't own anybody. I don't have anybody claim on anybody. But I can tell you this, the time that they're in this church under my responsibility as a teacher, I'm going to do my best to put something into their life. I'm going to do my best to give them something to hear, to listen, to comprehend that's going to change them just a little bit. As it says, give them a little nudge towards Jesus. A little nudge with truth. I can't give them all of it to them, but I can keep pointing them in that direction. Just kind of herding them in there. Have you heard? Have you understood? Have you comprehended? As you read, are you listening? Thank God. It says even the angels didn't understand everything that was going on. And now we have just open access to it. Do we understand that? Wow. That's amazing. We can go to the Word of God and just say, Lord, I'm gonna read this chapter today. And I want you to point some things out to me that I've never seen before. Or I want you to enlighten me on something even further that I didn't get before. An abundance of knowledge. Say again, abundance. An abundance of knowledge. Just not, just a little nugget. No, abundance. Thank God for nuggets. But I like big nuggets. Boulder-sized nuggets of truth. Amen? Go back to Mark chapter 4. We're going to set this up, set the stage. Verse 10. Again, this is the life lessons of Jesus that he gives us in these parables. Mark chapter 4. We can see in verse 2. Well, verse 1, it says, again, he began to teach them by the seaside. This is a similar illustration, example. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine or his teaching, in verse 2. So verse 3 through 8 is the very simple parable of the sower. And then again he says in verse 9, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. When I first started reading the Bible years ago, when I was coming out of my agnostic attitude and foolishness and ignorance, I'd read that and you'd think, he that has an ear, of course we have an ear. He that has an ear, let him hear. Well, of course I can hear. We all hear. But that's not what it's talking about, is it? It's talking about it, grabbing hold of it. Verse 10. And when he was alone, that they were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. Now this particular time, it tells us very specifically who was with him, doesn't it? And he said unto them, the 12, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, again, outside there, that multitude that was just out there, that big crowd that I was just talking to, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Gives a little different version here, a little different aspect of it. Again, if you have that hunger, more than just that curiosity, oh, that was interesting. Oh, I hear Brother So-and-so's preaching over at such and such a place, or such and such a church, or such and such a conference. And I'm going to go there and listen to Brother Doodad. And I'm going to listen to him. Oh, wow, that was really good. And then you come home and someone asks you, so, what'd you get out of that conference? I ran into so-and-so, and we went out to lunch, and now we had a really good time fellowshipping. And no, what did Brother Doodad preach? I don't remember. Don't look at me, because I know what's happened to me. I've listened to Brother Doodad, and I can't remember what he preached. But there are other times Brother Doodad really did me over. I'm like, wow. As I shared last week, when I walked into that classroom expecting Brother Hagin to come and teach Faith Library, I was like, who's this guy? Doug Jones, never heard of him. And then he gets up there and starts preaching, and within 10, 15 minutes, I really didn't care who he was. Just keep on coming. But he was reading me the riot act. His words were speaking life to me. Abundance of knowledge was coming. I was soaking it up. I'm sure he could tell like I was a little groundhog sticking up like this. Feed me with the Word of God, brother. I know I must have looked like that because he came right over. And that was a big auditorium I've ever been in the NRC there. And he came over and he was preaching. Mary and I and Jennifer were probably about where Leo and Carol are right here. And he just came over and he was talking. It's like, I don't care if anybody else was in there. He was speaking to me. And I was writing as fast as I could. Man, there was times I was like, I know I've heard about faith for years. I've taught faith for years. But the way you're saying it is different than I've ever heard it. There's something about being able to hear and then listen with the intention to comprehend so that you can be a doer of the word and not just a what? Hear only. Does that scripture make more sense now? What do you mean just a hearer only? Of course I have to hear. Yeah, but hearing with the intent to make it yours so that you can act upon it. Because if that truth isn't strong enough in your life, when the circumstances of life come, the lessons of life that we learn from Jesus won't be strong enough for us to act on. It's happened to all of us. And as we grow and mature in Christ, and as I guarantee you, as we go through these parables, as he said, do you understand this parable? Look at verse 4, chapter 4, verse 13. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? He's making an interesting statement. He says, if you understand this parable of the sower, how this principle works, of what's being planted into a person's heart, you'll understand how all these other parables work. He's making a point to understand that this parable helps us understand every other parable. When we understand this parable and the principles about it, again, the parable captivates you as a hearer. But as you get in there, it should sustain us as a learner. I haven't read it years ago. I read a book called Something in the Life of the Learner or something. I forget what it's called. It's kind of a business book, but the principle of it was how everybody learns differently. You know, there's some people, they can sit down and they can read schematics and a manual and they can go work on it. And I look at it and go, I'm one of those guys that if I get the piece of furniture, give me the instructions with just the pictures. Don't tell me screw A goes into point B, which is connected to number C, because I can't find B and C, because usually they have it wrong on the thing. Just give me a picture that says this piece goes there. I'm visual. The other thing is, unless if I watch someone do something, I can learn it faster than if I have to read it. Or if I have to somehow or another go through the steps of it. I'm just one of those guys. Show me how it's done, and I'll remember it. Everybody learns different. So however you learn, focus on that. Use that to your advantage. Let Jesus be your teacher. Let these things speak to your life. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said unto them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." The purpose of the parables is to capture our attention, to get us curious, to sit down and say, "I'm going to dig into that a little bit more." And then once we make that decision, it will sustain our interest to keep us going, and we can learn from it. All right? Now, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. You know, in the past, we used to have what's called afterwards.